All right, wonderful. Amen. Brother Combs, and why should we sing a sad song? If we're saved, going to heaven, he said, but I like to cry. That's fine. Sing a happy song, cry that you're going to heaven. You don't shed tears but of despise, of despair. You shed tears of joy. And thank you, Brother Combs, for the song, and I hope you've enjoyed your day. And that you've made the best of it, because it could be your last. So it could be. Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't mind going to bed tonight and wake up, and I'm like, hey, it's heaven. That's the way I want to go. So y'all pray with me about that, all right? I'm not a fan of pain, are y'all? So I'm not a fan of pain, so I want to just go to bed at night and wake up, and the Lord said, hey, you're home. Glory to God. Well, I can tell y'all are fired up tonight, so take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's good to be in the house of God and pumped up about Jesus, right? 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read one verse, if you'll stand with me. We're going to pick up where the preaching left off a couple of weeks ago, and I want to continue our study and preaching on growing beyond childish behavior. Growing beyond, you ever had your mom, when you was a kid, or maybe, hey, I tell you what, husbands, how about your wife saying, stop acting childish. There's a reason for that. And I'll tell you why. When I was a child, Paul said, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I took this verse a couple of weeks ago and broke it down just a little bit. And the first part of the verse, the scriptures, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And I made the analogy to child being one of immaturity, one that has not grown in their faith to a place that they need to grow. Now, the unusual thing about Christianity is, did you know that a person can morph back to childhood in their Christianity? They can grow and be mature, and then all of a sudden something happened, they shipwreck in life, they can morph back to childhood behavior and immaturity. So I want to talk to you tonight in part two about where Paul said, I understood as a child. Father, would you bless our time, the effort that will be put forth tonight in the teaching and preaching, in Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. I want you to look right across the page there, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 20. Paul writes again here, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be what? Be men, be adults, be mature. He said, when it comes to the ability of understanding, when it comes to the ability of perception and comprehending and of things that are significant or the meaning of things, he said, be a man, be mature. And you say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to do that? Well, first of all, you need to know the Word of God. Okay, second of all, you need to spend some time with God and in a private devotional matter. Now, the last time we were together on this particular subject, we talked about Paul said, I spake as a child. We talked about such things as a child speaks his mind. In other words, many times a kid, they just say whatever's on their mind. Let me say something to you. That's probably not a wise idea as an adult, because you don't always think right. And you don't, usually what comes out of our mouth isn't always something that we want other people to hear. So be careful when you say, well, I think I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Many of us cannot afford that. So a child speaks his mind, and usually they speak it without concern of who it's going to hurt. They speak it without, listen, some of the most cruel things that you'll ever hear in your life are things that will come out of kids' mouths. Because, I mean, they'll call you everything but a human being. And just kids. Why? Because a lot of times they speak their mind. But you know, in Christianity, when a person speaks their mind, what they're doing is they're literally depicting to others the level of Christianity that they're living on. We talked about, number two, that not only does a child speak their mind, but sometimes a child uses improper language. They don't always communicate the right thing. Sometimes people will say something trying to be a blessing and turn out that they say something that may be along the line of rudeness or crude, and not necessarily meaning, it's just that they don't have the expertise or they don't have the maturity to go beyond certain things. So sometimes a child will use improper language. I said, thirdly, that a child sometimes will speak rudely about his authority in private. Ever seen kids that walk away and they're mumbling? Mumbling, you know what they're doing? They're probably speaking about an authority under their breath. And many of you parents, if you've raised kids long enough, sometimes you'll have to correct your kids, may even have to discipline. And then sometimes you walk by the room and you hear them talking. And you walk up to the room, put your ear in there. Who are they talking to? You open the door and crack it just a little bit, and they've got one of their stuffed animals in there. And they've got them pinned down in a chair, and they're just reading them the Riot Act. You do that again, and I'm going to give you a spanking. Don't you talk back to me. Now, listen, what they're doing is they're relaying to that stuffed animal the thing they just did. And many times what they'll do is they'll reenact that in their own. So listen, you listen to those types of things. And many times children, sometimes they will speak rudely about authority in private. Let me say to you, folks, I mentioned to you, please listen to me. You say, well, what if I don't always agree? That has nothing to do with it. It's speaking out against authority that God has put in place. When you speak out against authority, particularly when you speak out against religious authority and church authority, when you mess with authority in the church and you mess with the church, you mess with God. Now, you say, prove that. All right, let me just give you a quick illustration. Remember Moses married an Ethiopian woman? Now, should he have done it? No. But did God approve it? No. But Aaron and Miriam disapproved of it. So you know what they thought? They took it upon themselves to criticize their brother in private. Problem was, they weren't in private because God heard it. And so God called a little council meeting with Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Now, folks, I want you to listen. You've got to understand this is a principle we've got to get a hold of. When he brought them together, even though God disapproved of what Moses did, God stood behind the position that Moses held. Come on now. I said God stood behind the position. And you know what he did? He looked at Miriam. He said, that'll not happen again. And he smote her with leprosy. Now, listen, the brother, Moses, who was criticized by Aaron and Miriam, he's the one that said, oh, Lord God, please, would you heal my sister? Don't let her go through the rest of life like this. And God answered his prayer. That showed you what kind of character he had and what kind of character his sister had. So I said that children, immaturity sometimes reflects itself by murmuring about authority. And listen, folks, we can disagree and still go to church together. We can disagree. You know why I know that? Because you can disagree on your job and still work. Yeah, you don't agree with everybody on your job. You may not even agree with the owner. But you can still go to work. You know why? Because he signs your check. So all I'm saying is, Paul said, when I was a child, when immaturity there, when I was a babe in Christ, he said, you know what? I spake like a child. But I want you to notice number two, he said, then, not only did I speak like a child, I understood like one. He said, I understood like a child. I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Now, did you notice it? Counsel in the heart of man, not a child, of a mature Christian, is like deep water. But a man, maturity, a person of understanding, will draw it out. So what I'm saying tonight, church, is that Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like one. He says, but you know what? Had also another problem, I understood like one. Now, I want to say this to you in my introduction real quick. A child does not understand perfectly because his mind is unable to comprehend all the facts. You see, his mind has not developed fully, therefore he can't always make the right decisions. But here's what he does. He does make a decision based on his understanding. And he lives on the level of his understanding. And so what we've got to understand tonight is simply that what we're to do, we're to grow beyond this. We're to grow beyond our childish behavior. Now take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to spend quite a bit of time for the next few minutes in the book of Proverbs. So just go ahead and turn there if you would. Look in Proverbs 20 and verse number 11. Now understand, I'm making a connection with a child and immaturity. A child and someone that has not grown to a place of maturity in their life. And what are the effects of it? Proverbs 20 verse number 11. Notice the first part of the verse. Even a child is known by his doings. You say, how can you tell the difference between mature Christianity and immature Christianity? The scripture says an immature person, you will know them by their doings. It's very similar to what Jesus said. He said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so you can determine those who have immature levels of Christianity in life and who have not grown to a place of maturity in their life, because you know what? They'll speak their mind. They speak like a child, and then they understand like one. They're quick to judge. They're quick to call out somebody without checking all the facts out. They're quick to jump policy because it don't always conform to their lifestyle. And what they're doing is they're announcing to everyone, this is my level of Christianity, because they understand like a child. How many times have you ever done something as a family and you told your kids, hey, you know what? Let's say we're going to the park tonight to have a family picnic. Oh, I don't want to go to the park. It's not fun. Well, we're going because we want to spend time as a family. But they don't have a playground there. We're going because of family. Well, we're not taking a volleyball net. We can't play. It's not going to be any fun. You see, many times what a child will do, they will automatically judge the thing before they ever get out there. Then once you get out there, starting to have a good time, they're fine. But the problem is, they've already determined in their mind it's not going to be fun. And so many times in our lives, if we're not careful, we understand like that. A child is known by his doings. And so I want to say to you tonight, first of all, church, that a child puts little importance on responsibility. Take your Bible, if you would, Proverbs 24 and verse 3. A child puts little importance on responsibility. Proverbs 24, verse number 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is it what? It's established. You see, many times a child tries to make decisions beyond their understanding. You ever had a 6-year-old who tried to make decisions like a 20-year-old? Some of you that have grandkids, they're 6 going on 25. And they think, hey, you know what? I'm all right. I can make these decisions on my own. You know, you got a 5-year-old standing at the closet trying to figure out, now what do I want to wear tonight? Oh, let's see. Let me pick my shoes. Let me try to match what. No, you know what, parents? You just go get what they need to wear, set it out, and this is what you're wearing. Okay? And so a child, a lot of times, they put very little importance on responsibility. For instance, parents, everybody okay in here? Did everybody like your kid's room to be clean? Amen? You like your kid's room to be clean? Isn't it amazing how that a lot of kids, clean rooms, no big deal to them? Hey, all they got, if they walk in there and there's clothes on the floor, they kick them out of the way. You know, hey, for some, a clean room is not that important to them, or cleaning up after themselves. Hey, listen, you know what? When I was a kid, if I went to the supper table and ate, and I got finished eating, kicked my chair out and walked off, I'd be a dead person today. You didn't leave our table without saying, excuse, or may I be excused? And then many times my dad will say, what do you say to your mother? Thank you, mother, for the meal. You say, that's crazy. I'm just talking about responsibility. You know, we need to teach our kids to be thankful to mama for fixing meals. Thank you, mom, for washing my clothes. Thank you, mom, for vacuuming my room. Thank you, Mom, for helping me with my homework. You see, sometimes children put very little importance on responsibility. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. The scripture says, good understanding giveth, oh, I like this word, favor. Good understanding giveth favor. But did you see that? But the way of the transgressor is hard. The guy that bucks the system is going to have a tough time. You see, those who are on a very small level or low level of spiritual maturity, they've decided they're not going to grow. They've decided that other things are more important. They put very little importance on responsibility. Let me just say this. Sometimes children also put very little importance on following through with their jobs and their duties. Parents, does anything drive you more crazy than kids starting something and not finishing it? You almost have a nervous breakdown. They'll go and they'll start cleaning the room but never finish it. Or they'll start mowing the yard, here's what they do, dads. They'll mow the front yard, not mow the backyard. Mow the backyard, not mow the front yard. Why didn't you finish it? Or they'll bag the grass and throw it on the side of the house instead of sitting it out by the road. You see, they started. Sometimes kids start a job, but they don't finish it. They don't follow through in their job or their duties. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You know, sometimes immaturity, they think certain things are funny or, hey, it's no big deal. But you listen to me, it is a big deal. It's a big deal that we follow through on our jobs. Hey, listen, I'm just talking about simple things, folks. I'm just talking about simple things that, hey, if you work in a ministry and you're not going to be there, hey, it'd be all right if you call somebody and let somebody know you're not going to be there. That's just common courtesy, right? You don't just go off and leave it and just not show up or not call somebody. Try that on your job this week and see how well that works. You see, what I'm saying to you, you know what that is a sign of? That's a sign of childish behavior. It's a sign that you haven't grown in your Christian life. Remember I told you the first week, as a kid, my brothers and I used to like to get up against the wall here and we'd mark ourselves on the wall, you know. We'd put a little mark on the wall. We'd come back 2 weeks later and see if we've grown any. You know, just to see, you know, how you do, you'd kind of stand and just to see if you've grown any. You know, we need to do that on a regular basis. And you know some of the ways that you can find out whether you've grown in Christianity? Check out your speech. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Check out your understanding, how you're going about the understanding of certain things, particularly responsibility. Look at Proverbs 15:32. A child puts little importance, I said, on responsibility, about cleaning up after themselves or following through on their jobs. How about accepting and admitting fault? Accepting and admitting fault. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse number 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth what? Okay, listen, you know what a kid will do? A kid, their first tendency is to deflect blame and point it towards someone else. Because, by the way, it's always somebody else's fault, right? Can't possibly be mine. But, you know, that's the tendency of immaturity. They don't like to take fault or admit fault or take responsibility for their actions. You know, folks, so many things, you know, a church our size, so many things, so many people having in ministry and things. Hey, it'll be okay. If something gets broken under your watch, it's okay to report it. It's okay to let somebody know, hey, this got broken, so that we can do something about it and fix it. You see, when something gets broken, hey, we're not saying, you broke it. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, hey, let us know so we can get it fixed. You know, why leave something broken for the next person to come in and somebody else use it and or need to use it and it don't work? All I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like one. He said, I understood like one. Children put little importance on responsibility. They just do. I want to say to you, number two. Also, a child is not really concerned with time. They're not concerned about time. Hey, you know what? They go to school and they go about their school bit. I doubt very seriously many of them are looking at their clock. You know, can't you see a K-4 kid go to school and they're like, they're not concerned about time. Hey, you know what? They go home when you come pick them up. See, time means very little to a child. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is human. I said 12, didn't I? I meant 2. I thought, man, that ain't right. Proverbs 18, 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Time does mean something. It doesn't mean anything to God, but it does mean something to us. You see, a child, they don't have a schedule or a plan to their day. They just go about their day. Many times their day's already planned for them. They don't focus on the present. Or if they are, they're focused on what's going on around them right now. And they're certainly not focused on the future. Their goal is just to get it done. They're not really concerned about how long it takes to get it done. You see, they just want to get there. They're not concerned about what time they get there. You see, a child, many times, if they're there on time, fine. If they're not, fine. But can I say to you, that's a sign of immaturity. So, let's just go ahead and break this down. Let's bring this down to where we can get it now. Okay? When we are continually late, not only is it a sign of bad character, it's a sign of immaturity. Amen? Have you ever thought about that when you're late, that normally there's somebody waiting on you? And so you're inconveniencing other people. And when you don't care whether you're inconveniencing other people, that's a sign of immaturity. That's what a child does. A child can care less. They don't care if they show up and five people have had to wait and bother them at all. They're like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, hey, hey, hey. You're 10 minutes late. Big deal. But you know what is important? You need to be on time. We need to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. You see, a child is not concerned with time. Let me give you another one, then I'll make some applications quickly and we'll be done. The third thing I want to share with you tonight is this, and I want you to listen. Paul said, when I was a child, not only did I speak as a child, I understood as a child. Here's the third thing I want you to get a hold of. A child toys ignorantly with danger. A child toys ignorantly with danger. Are you there in Proverbs 21:16? Look at Proverbs 21:16. A man that wandereth out of the way of understanding, listen now, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Say, preacher, what are we talking about here? I said a child, one of immaturity, toys dangerously, ignorantly with danger. Turn, if you would, back to Proverbs chapter 9. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. It says, forsake the foolish and what? What does your Bible say? Forsake the foolish and do what? And live. That means if I don't forsake the foolish, guess what happens? My potential of death goes up really high. So he says, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of what? There it is again. Understanding. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 7. Look at Proverbs 7 and verse 6. Remember Solomon wrote these words? Here's what he said. He says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of what? Void of perception, void of discernment. Void of being able to comprehend or perceive that which is significant. And then you know the passage, it went downhill from there. Now, I said to you that a child toys with danger ignorantly. Let me read you some statistics real quick, if I could please. I began to look up the cause of child deaths in America. And I noticed on here that 1,236 children die each year from drowning. Now, it's an interesting thing. I noticed that they put out a little asterisk out beside this. This is what they said. They said, children are curious of the water. but not able to comprehend the potential of its danger. They're fascinated by it. They're drawn to it, not understanding the danger of it. Now let's make an application to this. You know, immature believers are fascinated with the world. They're fascinated of trying somehow to work out the ability to try to live somewhat in the world and somewhat for God. The Lord says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. It's impossible to do it. And yet, many times, immaturity seems to draw us to that which we think is fascinating. And I just thought from a secular observation here, they've made the statement that children are curious of water, not able to comprehend the potential danger. 1,236 deaths, 174 deaths due to accidental firearms, 1,936 deaths due to fire. Listen now, most of them started by the child. Now I want you to listen to what they said. They said children are less likely to recognize the dangers of fire, more likely to hide once a fire breaks out, and less likely to have or know an escape route or plan. You know what they're saying? They're saying because of the immaturity, because of the immature level, when a fire breaks out, you know what they do? They don't try to do something about it. They go hide. And normally they hide in the house that's burning. Why? Because of immaturity. They're afraid. You know what they said? The number one reason that kids do that, when they start a fire, they go hide because they're afraid somebody, they're going to get in trouble. And folks, listen to me. From time to time, things are going to happen in life. Fires are going to break out, but you don't run and hide. You don't stick your head in the sand. You go tell somebody. You try to get it fixed. You try to get the fire put out. What happens? People go run and hide, and pretty soon the fire gets bigger and bigger, and they have no escape route or plan to escape. Listen, I could go on and talk to you about deaths of children caused by poisoning and falls and electrocution and on, but the point is this, that the understanding of a child is skewed and their abilities to discern are at an all-time low. Now, let me say something about immaturity in the Christian life. When a person is immature in the Christian life, their abilities are skewed. Their discernment is skewed. They're at an all-time low in discernment. Why? Because of the lack of understanding. You see, a child just, they put little importance on responsibility. A child has no concern. Time doesn't matter to them. If they're late, on time doesn't matter to them. It should matter. And a child toils ignorantly with danger. You know why? They don't fear the consequences. They can't recognize it as danger, or they think nothing of how it would affect others. Hey, he doesn't count the cost of his actions. He just does it. It's a sign of immaturity. Here's what the application I want to make tonight, okay? Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Proverbs 22. Let me give you some applications of childhood. As I mentioned just a moment ago, the amazing thing about Christianity, church, is that a person can be mature for a period of time in their Christian life and then morph back to childhood, boom, just like that, overnight. Proverbs 22, are you there? Verse 15. Let me make some applications here. Proverbs 22:15. Look what it says. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Now I want you to notice there, it says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now the application I want to make is simply this. We know that this is actually talking about an actual child. But I want to make a spiritual application, just simply say that, you know what, just like foolishness is bound in the heart of a physical child, it's also bound in the heart of an immature believer as well. There's still much foolishness that needs to be driven out. And many times it's bound in the heart by immaturity. It's bound by stubbornness, by pride, by flesh. It's bound there normally by a number of things that hold it in the heart of an immature believer. Now, let me tell you what foolishness produces. The fruit that foolishness produces is as follows. Number one, irresponsible choices. irresponsible choices. Number two, regrettable actions. Listen, I can't tell you how many people I talk to on a regular basis that because of their immaturity in Christianity made some decisions that they said, "Preacher, you know what? I regret them. And I may regret them the rest of my life." But see, it says foolishness is bound in the heart of one of immaturity. It's bound. Listen, some of us are just stubborn. Some of us should just eat up with pride, selfishness, or just the flesh. So we have irresponsible choices produced. Regrettable actions. Listen now, hurtful responses. Hurtful responses. You see, what happens many times, one of an immature life and one that hasn't grown in Christ, many times their responses to people are very hateful. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm talking about that when situations come and certain, as I mentioned a while ago, rules, policies are in place, authorities holding down those policies, and because that policy inconvenienced someone, they jump up in authority's face because they didn't agree with the policy. Just saying, you know what that is? That's called foolishness. And it's bound in the heart of someone immature. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, when somebody follows that chain and follows that line of action, all you're doing, you might as well go ahead and make a banner this big and tell everybody, "I'm an immature believer," because that's what you're depicting to everyone by your foolish actions. When you jump in the face of somebody instead of sitting down like a mature adult and talk about the issue and try to figure out what the problem is, just go ahead and make a banner or just get one of those little blinking hats and put on the top of your head, "I am an immature believer," because this is what you're telling everybody. Okay? And so what I'm saying to you is application number one, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It produces irresponsible choices, regrettable actions, hurtful responses. Go, if you would, to Proverbs 29. Go to Proverbs 29. Look at verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom." Listen to this. "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You say, what application are we going for here, preacher? Did you notice it said a child left to himself? That means no accountability, no check and balances, no standards of living, no rules, no supervision. You know what it produces? Shame. Now, folks, listen. Here's what we got to understand. We got to understand that in a church setting, a church is not a business, but there are business aspects to the church. And there are certain aspects of the church that have to be run somewhat like a business office. And so the unique thing about a church is not only do you have a business aspect, but you also have a church aspect. You got to know when those two cross each other. You got to know that when you walk into a church office, that is a church office, but it's a business office as well. It's not a playground. It's not somewhere to come and hang out and just kick your feet up and, "Hey, what's going on? I'm busy. That's what's going on." See, here's what we think. We think nobody at the church, we just sit around, drink Cokes, and put your feet up on the mat and just slap our knees, tell jokes all day long. Let me ask you to do something. I want you to come up to the church one day. Let me put you with any one of the staff members and let you follow them all day long. "Amen, preacher." And see at the end of the day if you'd like to switch places with them. Because I promise you, it's sun up to sundown, and they work hard. And all I'm saying to you is, church, is that when a child is left to himself, he bringeth his mother shame. And can I say this to you? That when an immature believer is not set in a place to where we have standards and rules and accountability and supervision, not only do you shame your family, you shame your church, you shame Christ by not sticking by the guidelines. That's the reason we have paperwork that has to be done. Amen, bus workers. Isn't this good? Then why don't you fill it out? Well, this is good stuff, isn't it? I said, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame, and you'll do the same thing for your church as well. Because you can't do what you want to do. You say, but it's the church. It's Christ's church. Hey, why would you do in a secular job do something better there than you do for what you do at your church? There's rules. Hey, listen, I don't have our secretaries make rules out and stick them on the buses just so that they can look pretty. There's a reason for it. You can't just do what you want to do. Sunday school teacher, there's a reason we sign commitment forms. Why? Because you can't do what you want to do. You can't just come to church and say, I'll do what I want, talk what I want, dress what I want, act like I want. You can't do that. You say, yes, I can. Try that on your job tomorrow, because if you get by with it, call me. I want to come talk to your boss. Say, preacher, you've been out of shape. I'm just saying, got too much childish behavior going on. And it's showing very, very loudly. Amen. I'll amen myself. Now, all I'm saying to you is foolishness, the Scripture says, is bound in the heart of a child. And then a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Listen, if I went around and interviewed everybody, if I'd say, you want to bring shame to your church? You want to bring shame to Jesus? Not a person in here would say, yeah, that's what I'm coming to church for. Bring shame to God. Nobody in here would do that. But you know what? You do it by your actions when we've got a system of records and you won't fill them out. When we have guidelines in the office and it says, nobody comes past this point except for business only. And you look at that and you say, that don't apply to me. Amen. Say, preacher, you've been out of shape. I'm not being out of shape. I'm just saying, too much childish behavior going on. And we're showing everybody what our level of Christianity is. Oh, let's go ahead and get one more. What do you say? Proverbs 23. Say, man, this is rough stuff. Wait till you get to this one. Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Here it is. Withhold not correction from the child. Say, preacher, we having a little correction session tonight? Just a tad. But listen now, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. The truth's the truth, folks. And sometimes, you know what we have to do? We have to go and swallow. It's kind of like that medicine. Remember when you was a kid, it was nasty and filthy, and you had to take a drink of the medicine, and you're like, oh, it's kind of like NyQuil. But I've gotten so used to NyQuil now, I can just wash it around in my mouth. And say, why do you like NyQuil so much? One day I flipped that thing over, and it has 10% alcohol in there. Hey, the Scripture says it's good for the belly. So I have to take a shot every now and then because it's good for the belly. It says, withhold not correction from the child. Question, does a child need correction from time to time? What's the purpose of the correction? You trying to hurt the kid? No, come on, moms and daddies, why do you correct your children? So they'll straighten up, right? So they'll make the applications that you're trying to teach them. You see, the lack of correction produces, listen now, rebellion against all authority. Not just you, against all authority. And that's reason it says that the rod of correction, hey, if it's applied, they're not going to die. And that's the reason that in situations like this, when we have to swallow the truth, correction's good. You see, rebellion is the result when there's not correction. Number two, if there's not correction, it distorts character and integrity. Because then you know what? Hey, if the preacher ain't going to say anything about this, then I'll just move this to a different level. I'll just do whatever I want to here. And you can't. Now listen, people take that attitude. I'll do what I want. I'll say what I want until they do something that causes a lawsuit to come against them. Then they change their tune. But the problem is now they've got the church involved. Now I want you to listen. You know what most people do when that kind of thing happens? They leave and leave the church with the lawsuit. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you. You know what? There's too much childish behavior going on. I don't have to fill these records out. I don't have to sign this commitment form. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Okay, you're going to bring shame to your church and to Christ. It distorts character and integrity. Let me tell you something else it does. It breeds a warped view of ethics. Amen. It breeds a warped view of ethics. Folks, listen to me. Right's right, wrong's wrong. And you know what? We do what we want. And if we want to fill the records out, if we want to do the things that we're supposed to do, we'll do them. If we don't, we don't. You know what else it does? It leads to the abuse of others. People talk to people how they want. Listen to me now. Most of you parents have had to deal with bullying. Did you know there can be bullying in the church as well? Amen. Say, preacher, this is so good, I'm going to buy this tape. You won't listen to it but once. You see, what's happened sometimes if we don't do the correction that's necessary, we're breeding religious bullies. And then you have people that bully everybody else because of the circumstances they're in. Because, listen, you know what? Ain't nobody going to tell them what to do. Now, let's think about this and I'm done. Think about a business that allowed their employees to do as they pleased. Think about a business that allowed their employees to report when they want, go home when they want, fill out paperwork when they want, decide what they want to be paid, dress like they want, talk like they want, come in when they want, treat others like they want. You say, man, I ain't working for that company. But you'll come to church and do it. Amen. Would you be pleased to work at a place that had no restrictions or guidelines? Listen, you know what? Some would come and say, listen, I don't understand why we got all this paperwork, why we got all these rules and stuff. All right, if we did away with them tomorrow, you'd be back with me in 2 weeks griping. Where are the rules? We've got to have some kind of sanity around here. I'm like, we did. You just wouldn't abide by it. So we just threw them all in the trash. So you know what? Everybody's going to come, just do whatever you want to do. Say what you want to. Treat everybody like you want to treat them. You know what most everybody in here would be? You would be screaming. Listen, they'd be lined up at my office here. Preacher, what are you doing? We have no guidelines. We're just doing. Let's just go ahead and drop the insurance on all the buses. How about that? Let's not have any guidelines whatsoever. Listen, everybody's like, oh, no, we can't do that, preacher. Well, then why can't we abide by the simplest little things? You know why? Because we don't want to. And you know what we're doing? We're displaying our maturity. We're displaying our Christianity and what level that we're living on. Most of us in here would never work for a company that did this type of thing. Hey, let me tell you something. It hurts your performance on the job and the company's future success. You see, things are in place for a reason. You know, a lot of thought has been invested before decisions were made. And a lot of thought and prayer has been invested before certain things have been instituted. Do you know, me and the staff don't just sit around and say, well, let's find out what else can we come up with as far as paperwork. What else can we come up with to make it almost impossible for somebody to serve here? No, you know what? Just some real, in my opinion, very basic guidelines. Very basic. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child. Say, preacher, what do we need to do? We need to get right, that's what. That's what we need to do. We need to get beyond our childish behavior. You say, who are we all talking about? I'm talking about all of us. All of us, you know, we act like kids in some areas. You know what the altar ought to be filled up tonight? Say, Lord, I don't want to ever fall into that position. I don't want to ever bring my church into jeopardy. I don't want to certainly bring any disgrace to the name of Christ. Well, then you know what we need to do? We need to make it right. Because all of us are at fault in some area. And we just need to face up to it and realize, you know what? We've become childish in certain areas in our life. Would you bow your heads with me? I've taken long enough tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. How many would say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me, that's me. I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. Just slip it way up high, way up high. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask you tonight to have your will in this invitation. Now, Father, the Scripture